What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports. This is our podcast called What Up, Long Beach, and we are the 562.org. As always, I am JJ Fiddler, and my co-host across the table, Mike Garabasio.
We're down here at the Long Beach Post Office. That's lbpost.com, not the post office. Every time I say it, I feel like it's going to be confusing to people. We do two podcasts for them every week. That's why we're down here recording right now. We also do a big sports story every week. This week, you can check out our feature on the unbelievable legacy and up and down roller coaster ride of the Wilson Boys Swim Teams League Championship streak, which you've heard us talk about on this show before. Dates back 47 years. We have a nice look at that. And then JJ's got the story coming up for this weekend.
Yeah, but as always, Long Beach Post, 562.org. We can't do the stories or the podcasts or really anything else without your support. We need you to subscribe right now, so get to the 562.org. Hit that big button in the top right-hand corner. Just a few bucks a month. Make sure that this coverage never goes away, because it's the only place you're going to find the comprehensive coverage of Long Beach sports and Long Beach news. And while we're at it, let us know how you feel. Do you want to see more certain types of stories? More stories for a certain sport or a certain school? Do you want to hear stuff on the podcast? Do you want me and Mike to talk more about us?
You want
ourselves?
Us to fight? Do you want us to fight for your entertainment physically?
Yeah. Just let us know what you guys want. That's why we're here.
Don't be whiny about it.
We're here to give you... You know what?
No, go ahead. If you want to whine, go talk to JJ.
JJ at the 562.org. Let us know what you think, because that's what a community truly is. A community is communication. We've got to be talking to each other about what we need to be better for each other. So let us know. Do you want to hear a different type of podcast? We can do that too, because we're here for you. Get to the 562.org right now and get involved.
We are wrapping up a two-week period at the Garabasio household where we had people staying with us, coming over every day for 2 weeks straight. My mom stayed with us for a week. We had birthday parties. We had family reunions. We're the family. Every family has a house that hosts all that stuff, right? My wife and I are that house for both of our families, which means it was more or less a steady parade of people through my house the last 2 weeks. I'll tell you what, the other thing about entertaining people, you're not cooking every night. There's just no way to do it. You want to spend time with people. You want to relax. So we were very happy to have Naples Rib Company just one phone call and a quick drive away from the crib. Go down there and pick up a hog pack, pick up a pig pack. Just go get some delicious to-go food, a nice platter of all the different kinds of meats and sides they have at Naples Rib Company. Entertained everybody, fed everybody, kept everybody happy. Definitely go down to Naples Rib Company if you're having people over this summer. Tell them Mike and JJ sent you.
Mike and I have talked a lot about this issue. Mental health, mental fitness, using your brain as much as you use your brawn. It's important, not only in sports, but just in life. And we're going to bring on a special guest, Talise Fernbach, who is a sports performance psychologist. And she works with people to break down the mental barriers that are keeping them from their potential. The stuff that we do to ourselves that no one else can see, those inner pressures, she works with people to take those away. And I really wanted to bring her on the show, and she'll be on here in just a second. But before she does, you know, Mike and I have seen so many athletes come through this city, and we can tell you every single one that was really talented but might have been held back because of mental issues, mental barriers, pressures those kids put on themselves. And you can also look at the really successful ones, because all of them had their quote-unquote stuff together upstairs.
I think we definitely see kids that are, you know, from kids who are struggling with, you know, clinical depression or anxiety, to kids that are just burned out or struggling with motivation. And, you know, and sometimes the right mental approach for them is like, yeah, you're done playing basketball, you mm-hmm. know, like you don't like doing it or whatever. But yeah, I think this is an issue to me. This is the side of sports I'm much more interested in than how many singles someone hit in a game or something like that. You know, it could always use more talking about, more examination.
More normalizing.
Yeah, I think probably the thing I'm, to be completely honest with you, and we get asked this question sometimes, but when people ask me, what are you most proud of about the work that you and I have done together? I really think about when you and I film a video and put it on Twitter, talking about, you know, struggles that we've had, that our families have had with depression and other issues, and saying to kids, like, you shouldn't be afraid to go, right? Just like if you broke your leg, you go to the doctor. If you're depressed or you're struggling mentally, you shouldn't be afraid to talk to someone either. What Talise does a little different than that, obviously. But
right.
But the idea generally is like you not to help encourage kids who need to hear this, that that's okay.
Talese Sternbach, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the show. Mike and I were just talking about your business and how you work with athletes with sports performance psychology as a consultant and a trainer and a mental performance coach. Sounds like a lot of hard work with something that a lot of people might not understand.
Well, so JJ, first of all, thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely.
I greatly appreciate that. And in a nutshell, what I do is I help coaches, athletes, teams, individuals, sometimes even corporations, identify mental barriers that are impeding their performance or holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the easiest way to put it into terms. So there's many, many mental barriers: fear of success, fear of failure, lack of motivation, negative self-talk, etc. There's many things that hold us back from reaching our full performance potential.
Yeah, and you don't only work with athletes, you also work with companies as well?
Yes, I have worked with companies, I've worked with executives, because what I found is in working with athletes, which is my favorite, that's my first love, is working with athletes, is everything that I apply with athletes and what I've learned with athletes also applies to everyone in life, because everybody has performance barriers. I believe that if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, there's a reason why, whether it's conscious or subconscious. There are things that, you know, aren't known to us, and we cannot change any of them until we become aware of them, become conscious of them.
How did you find yourself in this field?
So I originally have a strong background in business, in negotiating contracts, and then I decided I wanted to do something else because people are very intriguing to me. They're very interesting. You cannot do any work in psychology without that.
Yeah.
You have to really sincerely care about people and be interested in them. And so I was going to be going to MFT, marriage family therapy, or something like that. And then I saw performance psychology and I'm like, oh, this is perfect. It's perfect. And it's about training the brain and it's very technical.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And it has to do with sports. And I grew up with sports.
And you also have children who played sports at Lakewood High
yes,
School.
Yes.
Did this business kind of change the way you watched your kids play sports?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I realize that a lot of parents live their life vicariously through their children. And really our goal as parents is to sit back and enjoy our children. That's our job, is to sit back and unconditionally love them and enjoy their performance. And if they need tools, get them tools so that they can perform better on the field.
Have you worked with parents and kids together, or are you more working with just the kids, kind of trying to figure out the relationship with their parents and vice versa?
So there's a lot of times if I work with children or kids or even college athletes or semi-pro anything, you realize that their parents have been a huge influence in their life. And a lot of times for the younger athletes, I end up having to bring in the parents to say, hey, this is how you're affecting your child's performance. Because a parent will either enhance or impede their child's performance. There's no gray area. You know, you can't just do something and say, oh, well, that's sort of helping him, that's sort of enhancing his performance and sort of not enhancing it at the same time. It's an either or in that area.
Right. So what would you say is the biggest mental barrier for your average high school athlete?
Not understanding their why they're out there. I think that's really, really important, and focusing on pleasing somebody besides themselves.
Which is usually their parents?
Their parents or coach.
Oh, okay.
And not focusing on the right thing. They're focused too much on the audience or the spectators or the fans or what the coach is saying or what the teammates will think of them. Because whenever excessive emotions or judgments come into play, it impedes their performance.
So that's like internal pressure, like putting pressure on yourself that might not even be there.
Right. And then because we create pressure in our head. So what we associate with our performance is what's creating the pressure. So if you just go out there and you say, I'm very clear on what my job is supposed to be, this is how I'm going to do it, and these are these other tools that Talese or whatever has given me to do it, it keeps all the other stuff out. And so when you're out there, you're performing for yourself, ultimately, because that's the main reason you should be out there.
And you said that you worked with coaches as well. Is your approach with coaches that different from your approach with athletes, or are they kind of the same?
They're very different, because the coach is the one that's in the seat of a lot of power. They are in a position of great power, and first they have to understand that and respect their position and understand who they are in the context of that position. Because what they do influences and affects their athletes and their players.
Right, right. And the parents the same way. You know, have you ever had a parent come to you and say, I'm struggling with interacting with my own son or daughter now that they're in sports? It's kind of tearing us apart. Have you had that?
Absolutely. A lot of times, too, especially if the parent never played sports and then they're trying to be supportive. They're like fish out of water. They have no idea what is going on. But I always tell parents the best advice, and we've spoken about this before, is, you know, when they're done playing, it's just like when a kid is in school all day and you come home, what did you do at school? That's the last thing they want to talk about is school. They just experienced it all day. Sometimes parents, hey, grandparents, tell me about the kids. And the mom or the dad's like, God, I've been with them all day. I don't want to talk about them. So when your athlete comes off the field, you don't want to sit there and ask them everything about what's going on. They just experienced it. So let them process it and then ask them, what did you learn? What can you get better at? And did you have fun?
Yeah, those are great questions. And I think the biggest thing that you and I talked about was the fun aspect. Having right. fun in youth sports is so important, and it really does make you a better player. But it's hard to find that joy. And I don't think that's just exclusive to high school athletes. I think that's everyone, you know, in your job and your family and yeah. your life. It's sometimes it's hard to find the joy. When you're working with athletes as compared to working with the companies that you said, is there a big difference in the why, the joy? Like, you're not playing high school sports to make money.
Right, no.
But you're working your job to support your family and all that stuff. You know, those internal pressures. Do you see a big difference between those groups of people?
Whether you're in a corporation or you're an athlete out on the field, understanding your why is at the very core of everything. Mm-hmm. Understanding your why, and actually even to go a little more deeper, is do you like yourself in the context of what you're doing?
That's
really, really powerful. So
yeah, that just pinged my ears. That's really, really good.
Because
do you like yourself in that situation?
Right. Do you like yourself in the context of that? And that's like a human concept.
Yes.
Because we have to like ourselves, even if there's one thing that you like about ourselves. I mean, I've had athletes come to me and they're phenomenal athletes, but they're so unhappy. And I'm not even dealing with them on the court. I'm dealing with, well, do you even like yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's fascinating.
It is. It's a fascinating job because I never know what's going to come up or turn up.
Do you have a favorite sport or favorite type of athlete to work with?
I love baseball pitchers. I love baseball is my go-to sport. That's what I did my practicum hours with. My dad was president of Little League. When I was in junior high, I was given a huge scorebook by the coach of the baseball team and five different colored pencils, and he taught me how to do all the stats on all the boys. And that's seventh and eighth grade. That's young. But I learned a passion, the beauty of baseball and mm-hmm. the sport of it. And just like working with those athletes, they're unique because they're not out there because it's the most exciting sport on the planet, right? They're right. out there for the passion and the love of the sport. And so, so I like to work with pitchers, also quarterbacks, because they have to go to a broad to narrow focus. They tend to be very passionate. Catchers are good, but they're all fun to work with.
We talked a little bit about Ken Revisa, the late Ken Revisa,
yes.
who worked with the Dirt Bags, and the fact that you liked baseball so much, I brought him up because he, to me, was the first person that I read where mental fitness and mental health weren't the same thing, but they were very tied together, where, you know, taking deep breaths before stepping into the box or before you deliver a pitch and stuff like that, that you now see major leaguers all over the league doing. That was like revolutionary when he first started. And you said that you were able to meet him a few times and hear him speak.
Yes, he was at Cal State Fullerton. I met him a couple times there.
Well, we'll forgive him for that.
He had some symposiums there. And so I would go and I meet him. And he was a quirky, thinking out of the box guy. You know what I mean? He wasn't the well-dressed. He was just creative. He was out there doing his stuff. And that's one thing about my job that's really fun is I think out of the box. You cannot do this job effectively and powerfully unless you think out of the box. Because if that athlete's sitting there and they're telling me this stuff and I'm thinking of ideas and ways to help them, whether it's keywords, pre-performance routine, I'm identifying mental barriers, and you go for it and it releases them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because performance psychology, sports psychology doesn't create talent. It just releases it. It helps to release it.
Because it's already in there.
It's already in there.
That's so interesting. And what you're saying about, you know, each mind is different, right?
Yes.
And kind of the,
yes.
that, so each situation is different. So to think that you can go to school and read books and then use those examples on the people that you're working with is kind of naive, right? You have right. to be a little bit more like Ken. You have to be creative and
yes.
kind of change things around it. Have you found yourself doing that more now that you're working a little bit longer and having more experience and stuff like that? Do you find yourself being more creative?
Oh, yeah. And it can be the simplest thing. Like, people try to make things really, really complicated. So, like, for example, if an athlete goes out and what we associate with our performance creates the anxiety or the pressure or the stress, right? But if you just say to yourself, well, I'm just going to go out and do my job, right? And be very clear in your mind on what your job is, it makes your performance a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And just opening that up to the possibility that, wait, all this other stuff is just nothing. It doesn't matter. And getting focused in on what matters is what, you know, is what counts. And that's when you can perform, right? And when you not, when you stop worrying about what the outcome is, that's when the freedom is. And so even for us in our everyday life, right, when we take our life and we look at it with a healthy perspective and keep it all relative to what's really going on, we're a lot happier. We're a lot freer.
Words of wisdom, words to live by. You're absolutely right. So if somebody is listening to this and thinking, I want more of that, how do they get in touch with you?
I have a website, Inner Mind Fitness, and I also can be reached via my website, and I also have my personal work phone, which you can find on the website. It's 714-309-5374.
Thank you from the sports community for what you do. Because thank as we've talked about on this show, as we talk about every year when it's Mental Health Day, this stuff is important. Mental fitness is just as important as physical fitness. So thank you so much for coming on the show, and good luck with the rest of your work.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Awesome stuff from JJ and Talise. This is such a fun show, the sports show. If you want a show that is not fun in the slightest, the Long Beach 30 is our weekly news wrap-up. We actually do have quite a lot of fun. We try and make it funny. But this week we're talking about earthquakes and fireworks, which is, I don't know if it's the right topic to squeeze humor out of. We did the best we can. Every week, the Long Beach 30 drops, bringing you the top news, politics, and entertainment stories in the city. You can search for it, the Long Beach 30, Long Beach 30, wherever you get your podcasts.
Summertime in the LBC is always filled with the wide variety of all sport. And we're going to give you this and that, the local headlines from the last week that you might have missed for Long Beach sports stories. Number one, with a bullet, more news on the Billie Jean King Library naming situation. Mike wrote a column about it. We talked about it last week. And everybody got good news from the city council last night.
Well, everyone on the pro Billie Jean King side got good
Even
news.
Even if they didn't want the good news, they got it, Mike.
Yeah, the city council had the first of what will end up being three votes if this is to actually happen. What they voted for last night unanimously, 7-0, was to send the proposal to name it the Billie Jean King Main Library to the Housing and Neighborhood Committee, which is going to meet next week. If the Housing and Neighborhood Committee, which is made up of three people who voted yes on this last night, votes yes, then it will go back to the city council either the following Tuesday or in August for them to officially, finally put a stamp of approval on it.
So much history from this city. But if you're going to point to one person who has a social, a sports, and just a United States influence, it's Billie Jean King.
I was almost annoyed at the city council meeting that people were talking so much only about the social impact that Billie Jean King has had. Not annoyed, because we obviously appreciate and respect everything she's done, but it was like, also her sports career by itself is pretty unbelievable.
Just breaking barriers as a woman because of the year she was born and the place she was born.
Right,
like, Polly
exactly.
Didn't have a girls' tennis team.
No one in the country had any girls' sports, you know, at the high school or college level that were serious. Yeah, and that was something that came up that I do think in this city you can't overestimate the impact of. But she was the person who was willing to put her face on Title IX to say, this is important, I think we need it. Literally, I mean, people don't necessarily understand this. Prior to Title IX's passage, the Moore League Girls Sports Championship history starts in 1976, because it was a couple years after Title IX got passed, they figured it out. The CIF history starts then as well. Like, half of the sports we cover wouldn't exist without that one piece of legislation.
Yes.
Half of the athletes who are at Long Beach State getting an education, changing their lives through sports, is because of Title IX. So that was one thing I thought was fascinating. There's a guy named Larry Goodhue, who's like a famous crank. He's like a Parks and Rec character. Like, he comes to every city council meeting. He talks about how the mayor's going to be arrested. They're all crooks or like whatever else, right? He goes up and he speaks at every public comment. And he actually got up to speak and say that he thought this was a waste of money or something, but he didn't know of Billie Jean King's connection to Title IX. And after he heard that, this dude, this like famous crank, stood up and was like, this actually changed my mind because I know how important Title IX is.
Phenomenal. That's my favorite story ever.
Yeah,
people changing their minds with logic.
Based on logic Love and it. Information. Yeah, so it did. It was approved 7-0. There is opposition to it. There are people representing the Friends of the Library and one guy who is just flat out anti-sports, who is just like, we shouldn't honor athletes for anything. There are people who would like to see it remain the main library. Their point is
well,
that
the main family did so much for Long Beach, Mike.
Yeah. It's like, we got to throw Bixby on one more thing, you know, like, give me a break. But yes, they, you know, they make the point of like, look, it's the New York Public Library. If you go to Philadelphia, it's not the Franklin Library. It's the Philadelphia Library. Like, I think those are fair points. And I, prior to the meeting and hearing how bad a lot of the arguments against it were, I was kind of like, yeah, the Billie Jean King Library or the main library, like, whatever. I wrote the column saying I think that we should name it the Billie Jean King Library, but I'm not like, I'm not going to print signs up about it or something like that. But some of these arguments that people were making against it were just like, oh, it's going to be too confusing. People won't know which king it's referencing.
Yikes.
People won't know if it's the main library or just another branch library. And it's like, I think the fact that it's an enormous glass building in downtown and that it says main library on it would probably be a clue.
Maybe.
But anyway, so yes, next week will be the committee meeting and then it'll go back to the city council. We'll keep you apprised on how that goes, but would obviously love to see such an incredible person, the only Long Beach resident ever to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, get a real big time honor like this.
That in and of itself should get you.
Come on, man.
This honor.
What are we talking about?
Come on. What are we talking about? We are also talking this week about a great yearly event that is officially open for registration. I'm talking about the Luke Tatsu Johnson charity event. That's golf, dinner, and an auction raising money for scholarships and Miller Children's Hospital and some other organizations that are helping kids fight cancer. Luke passed away in 2016. His family, mostly his parents, have put together this organization to put this event on each and every year. You can go to the562.org and find that information right now with a link to the registration. We wrote an article last year about them giving $10,000 to Wilson golfers via scholarships, and then more money they were able to donate to Miller Children's Hospital because of this event. So this is the third annual Tatsu event, and you got to get out there and see it because it's just like we're saying, community. It's what community is all about, man. They're raising money for all the right reasons, and they're doing it in a really fun way and in the name of a great kid. So if you want to see that article, it's on the562.org right now to read about him, his family, and his memory. That just it will be here forever. These events are stuff that we always want to promote. So if you have events like this, please let us know.
Well, and I just want to take a second, JJ, and commend you. A thing people might not understand about our work because they see our names together all the time is we both, in the course of doing our job, will stumble across a story that we kind of take ownership of or go on. And you've been writing about this story, you know, for the entire time that this fundraiser has been going on, since everything happened with Luke. And I just think it's great that you have sort of taken it personally and decided to help it grow because it's become a big thing. And, you know, I know they've said the same, but I would say I don't think it would be, you know, what it is today without your help and trying to make sure people know about it. So good on you as well.
Amen, brother. I appreciate that. Yeah, we want to do that for more people. So hit us up. Speaking of doing things for people, DeSean Jackson throwing a free football camp here in Long Beach for the first time ever. More football camps are always a good thing.
Yeah.
Free is also always a good thing.
It was so great, man. DJAC is, you know, with all due respect to Jarrell Casey, who's actually been to more Pro Bowls than DJAC, or to John Ross, who's going to have a great career, or Mercedes Lewis, who 15 years put on free camps in Long Beach. DJAC is the name. He's a name that everyone's heard. He's the name that the kids know. I think Juju Smith-Schuster has a chance, obviously, to be the same kind of a guy. And it was so exciting to see a guy like that come back. A ton of old Poly coaches and teammates were there to support him. It was really a blast over at Vets, this is just a great part of our summer that we just get used to these NFL guys coming and giving back to the community. I think it's really great.
So many pictures from that day on social media that I saw. I was out of town, but I was on social media, and it was like pictures of guys that you're like, oh yeah, they played together. EB's Instagram was just incredible. Yeah. Because it was just pictures of all of these Poly greats, and really that group was the first Poly group that I saw live, or, you know, live via tape delay, because I hadn't watched the games before that. But once I got into Poly football, that was the first group that that we were watching. I remember sitting in your room watching those guys play those championship games in the rain. With Raul Lara wearing the craziest wraparound Oakleys of all time.
Yes.
A moment in time I will never forget. But yeah, DeSean Jackson, good on you. Hopefully we are able to cover more stories like that. Let's swing it to some youth sports real quick. We've got great news from Mizuno and Los Altos softball. First, Mike, hit him with the Mizuno numbers because repeat champs is always a good thing. And they got a couple individual awards as well.
Mizuno is the volleyball club owned by Long Beach State women's volleyball head coach Joy McKenzie Fuhrbringer and her husband Matt. It's a longtime powerhouse in the club volleyball world, and they sent six teams to the Junior National Championships in Indianapolis. The 13s won the national championship. That same group won the 12s national championship last year. So as JJ said, back to back in different divisions. These are mostly Long Beach kids. Mizuno kids come from all over, but most of the kids on this group are at Hughes, Stanford, and Rogers middle schools. And I've already started hitting the dads up like, you're not sending these kids to modern day, right? Like, are we going to get to cover them in high school? But yes, the 14s team won runner-up national championship. That's huge. You think of how many clubs there are across the country. And for those age groups, 12 through 18, to have Long Beach kids playing in two of those championships is amazing. Also, for local volleyball fans, good news in terms of elite talent. We've been talking about Adania Faumuina and Riley McGinnis at Poly, the two freshman phenoms this year. Basically all year, they were both named to the small, very elite all-tournament team for the 15s team. So to have two players from one high school get all-tournament at the national championships, I think, is a huge deal. And then Star Williams, who has been at Los Al, not quite sure where she's going to be next year. Star Williams was all-tournament on the 17s team. She is committed to Long Beach State. So that's pretty cool to see those local honors, those national honors rolling into the local kids.
I just love reading national awards, and then you have to put the name of their middle school.
Yeah.
That's great. I meant to mention in the DJAC segment how he always says Long Beach Poly High School for like Monday Night Football when they get to announce where they went to college, but he just skips that and goes high school. I want to put out a challenge to all professional Long Beach athletes. Somebody drop your middle school on Monday night or Sunday night football this year or whatever it is. Please, I want to hear a Hughes. I want to hear a Stanford. I will put it all over the website.
There's no Stanford NFL guys.
And shine it with a bright light. There's some other ways for people to announce their college, and instead of doing that, just go middle school, dude.
Yeah.
Just go middle school. That would be epic. The other local youth team that has had some success recently and is also doing something they did last year is Los Altos All-Stars. The softball 10 and under team is going to Florida to play in the Babe Ruth Softball World Series. The 12U team went to Florida to play in the Cal Ripken World Series last year. So Los Altos continuing their success, but they need your help. These local teams have to pretty much pay for everything. And obviously, if you're a kid playing sports, you want your family there too. So they've got a lot of people traveling, and they need some extra money. They've got a GoFundMe page available right now. You can find the story in the 562.org, and the link to that page is also in there. One of the last things we want to talk about is actually both baseball and basketball, because we got a couple kids who are going to get some Team USA experience this summer.
Peyton Watson from Long Beach Poly, a junior basketball player to be also named number 40 recruit in the junior class by 247 Sports. This is a kid, this is my favorite thing about being a local sports writer. You and I started telling people last year at the beginning of the basketball season. Shelton Diggs told me, hey, I got a special sophomore this year. I went out and saw him in some fall league stuff and was like, yeah, that's a real one right there. And so we've just kind of seen this coming. Now all of a sudden he's one of the 24 juniors in America that is going to the USA basketball camp, number 40 recruit, according to 247. We're going to start seeing some big stuff from him this year and some more big honors coming his way. Then Caleb Brandon, one of the two-star freshmen at Milliken at their baseball team, Ryan Geck and Caleb Brandon. Brandon got an invite to the, I believe, U15 USA baseball team trials, which is just awesome.
So, finally, in this or that, former dirtbag Jeff McNeil in the All-Star game on Tuesday. We talked about it last week, but I also wanted to mention that before the Home Run Derby, they had him on the MLB TV desk with all the guys asking him questions before the Derby, and they were talking about his swing, and McNeil was talking about how he's kind of self-taught. It was just him and his dad at the batting cages, kind of just learning how to hit the baseball along the way. and how his swing looks like how his swing looks like Wade Boggs' swing. And so if somebody tells you like, oh, hey, your swing looks like a Hall of Famer swing, what are you going to do? You're just going to graciously accept. And that's exactly what Jeff McNeil did. He's like, looks all exactly like me. Absolutely. Which I thought was hilarious because that's just such a baseball thing to do. So congratulations to Jeff. But it got me thinking throughout the week with All-Star time coming around and how they've done a good job of changing the rules of the Derby and all that stuff. Like, is there a All-Star weekend out there that you absolutely love or that you absolutely hate that you would either want to change or keep the same forever? Because I think the NBA All-Star weekend is the best set up because you get a chance to see rookies versus sophomores. You get a chance to see three-point shooting. You get a chance to see skills, dunking, and then the actual game. Like, you get a little piece of everything, right? Like, there could be a skills challenge in baseball, but they'll never do that because everybody chicks dig the long ball. You know what I mean? They want to have a home run derby.
Right.
So is there one out there that you're just like, man, we got to fix that thing?
I tend to think all the complaints about All-Star games are like just sort of overblown. They're just supposed to be kind of goofy and fun to me. You know what I mean? Like, I've never seen there being issues with the Pro Bowl. I do think that, like...
But do you watch the Pro Bowl every year?
No.
There
but I do think all three leagues should put an emphasis on the goofy fun stuff. The quarterback camp stuff for the Pro Bowl is the most fun part of it. The dunk contest and three-point contest, the most fun part of the NBA game. And the home run derby is the only thing anyone pays attention to for baseball.
Yep.
So, like, I know you got to make the game. That's what has all your best players. You've got to make that a big deal or whatever. But I think the NBA does it best because the way they split it up, where they're it's dunk contest night and everyone gets excited about that.
Well, I think the NFL could kind of save themselves a headache if they took it back to Hawaii, the Pro Bowl, that is, took it back to Hawaii, but made it the weekend after the Super Bowl. So you've got the NFC-AFC championship game. Then you get a week off for all the media and stuff building up for the Super Bowl. Then you get the Super Bowl. So instead of the Super Bowl being the last football until preseason football in a few months, you then get that, like, encore. So all the guys who won the Super Bowl get to go to Hawaii, show off their ring, bring the trophy. You got all the best players in Hawaii together. Nobody's got any other responsibilities because the season is officially over. I feel like they really do themselves dirty by trying to shove that thing before the Super Bowl and also not have it in Hawaii anymore. That's just crazy.
It is crazy. I'll just say this. The one thing that has to be changed is the NBA awards night. Is it like happening a month after the finals? That's the stupidest thing. Like, who cares at that point about... So someone made a point like, who cares who the MVP is? I was like, no. People kind of still care who the MVP is. Who cares who the sixth man of the year is?
Who did
point,
it? Hasan Minhaj? He did the emceeing for it or whatever. Yeah. This year. He did a great job, though.
Yes.
His jokes were
just
pretty
do
awesome.
Do it the night before the playoffs start or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Bro.
I agree. We could talk for hours about the time in which awards are given and how stupid it is. But let's not get into that.
Yes, including some awards we give out.
Before we get out of here, we got a jam about the fam. Mike, little fam jam. I know you just had some fam in the city, right? Your mom just was in town?
We did. We had my mom. We had my cousin and her two kids. We had my aunt.
Full house.
We've had the full house. We've got Char's mom and brother are both around right now. Our brother's out from New York. So we're doing a lot of hanging out with family, which is why tomorrow I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to lock all the doors. I'm going to close all the windows. And I'm going to lie on the couch and stare at the ceiling.
He's going to ride till we can't no more. My fam jam is we just took a trip up the coast in a rented RV. And it's very simple. Rent an RV.
Nice.
My wife and I right now are trying to rebuild one. And that's a project. But being in an RV, moving around that way is just, it's beautiful, man. It's a moving house. There's so many things that on a road trip you have to worry about that you don't have to worry about in an RV. They're surprisingly affordable if you do it the right way. Get involved, dude. Recreational vehicles.
Nice.
Sign up.
Summer's the time.
Indeedy.
How much money did you spend on gas, though?
A good amount.
Yeah.
A good amount. But we also didn't baby it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
When you rent it, you can ride it a little harder.
Gotcha.
All right, let's get out of here. A shout out to everybody at Long Beach Post and the 562.org for everything they do to make sure that we can bring you the Long Beach sports coverage that you deserve. Subscribe. Hit us up with those surveys, like we said at the top of the show. Get involved. Make sure that you know what you want. There's a good chance you're going to get it, right? It's all about mental power. Thanks again to our guest, Talise Fernbach, for coming on. And we will talk to you next week. And maybe we'll see you in the stands, too. Take care, Long Beach.